I have been talking to you a little bit about the songwriting team of Harry Ruby and Bert Kalmar, who wrote Three Little Words back in 1930. What is interesting about their collaboration as a songwriting team was that it spanned over three decades. If you know anything about songwriting teams or groups that have written songs, I talked to you about Simon and Garfunkel last Sunday, and the fact that their teaming together really didn't last very long when you consider the time frame of history. The collaboration between Harry Ruby and Bert Kalmar ended in 1949 with the death of Bert Kalmar. And so it wasn't because they both walked away from that collaboration, it's because one of them died. They were effective and notable, probably one of the best songwriting teams in American history. The reason why they were able to do that is they stuck together. Even when they didn't like one another at times, they stuck together. And that's true of most of our relationships. Love without faith is not effective. You may have a lot of good feelings about things and about circumstances, but that's not enough to strengthen faith. This next picture that you will see is a picture of a man that I really enjoy. His name is Benaiah, and this is a picture of him jumping into the pit on a snowy day to take care of a lion. Benaiah is one of David's 30 mighty men. He is a fascinating man in the sense that he is listed, as Rick read for you today, in 1 Kings chapter 1 during the transition period between David and Solomon. What is interesting about him and why he was listed as a mighty man is that he was a man who loved David. All of these 30 men that are listed are men that loved David with a sense of intensity and concern about his leadership. But Benaiah was the only one of them that transitioned from King David to King Solomon. And what allowed him to make that transition was his faith as a man. What allows us in life to make the transitions that we need in life and face the difficulties of life is our faith. It is what gives us the strength and the courage that we need to go on. Now, when we talk about faith, we sometimes have some really false concepts like of faith, kind of like this video.
A bull rider is bold. Now, a bull rider on a plane is bolder than bold. And if he jumps from that plane, that's bolder than bolder than bold. And if he jumps while eating a Butterfinger bar and all its crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery glory, that's bolder than bolder than bolder than bold. And if he eats it,
honey,
even when his mother tells him not to,
he'll spoil your dinner.
That's bolder than bolder than bolder than bolder than bold. Bolder than bold, crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery.
Sometimes we think faith is about a leap of faith. And there is a point where we have to reach beyond what we know in faith. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, talks about the fact at the end of that chapter that with our faith we perceive through a glass darkly, or through a mist, as some translations say. In other words, we are reaching forward to something we don't see clearly, and that is true of our faith. That at times we do take a sense of a leap of faith. But faith is more than just that reaching forward to something that we don't fully understand. Like jumping out of the back of an airplane. I have never understood that. But there is a sense in which we as Christians need to understand that faith is an everyday experience in our lives. And it has powerful ramifications. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian people. He's writing to them because of a specific incident that has happened in their church life. A group of people have come in and said, if you really want to be spiritual and if you really want to love God, you're all going to have to get circumcised and start following the Jewish law. And you can imagine them with their eyes getting real big and saying, really? Paul writes to them and says, what has removed you from your faith? Do you think this devotion or this love thing, you chase shadows and you chase ideas or you run from things? That's not what faith gives us in our relationship with God or our relationship with other people. So here's what Paul says to them as he brings this down to a conclusion. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand what you would say to each of us this day. Direct our hearts toward you, I pray, and give me the wisdom that I need to share with your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. This particular sculpture is called Faith, and I like it an awful lot. It's by a little-known Renaissance artist by the name of Mino da Fiesole. Mino da Fiesole was rediscovered in the 1900s, and his statues now go for quite a bit at auction. But around 1432, he did this particular sculpture. What is interesting about this sculpture is the very careful lines that he placed in the drapery. If you look at the drapery on the figure, it's astounding. Very sharp, very precise lines. And yet it still has a very human quality to it. He's fallen out of dislike because of his precision of artistry. He was a very precise sculptor. But in modern times, we have not always cared for that as much, but he was very precise in that. When we look at faith, faith is about precision in our love. Isn't that an interesting concept? Faith is about precision in our love. Very often we talk about love, we talk about warm, fuzzy things, or we talk about ideas, or we talk about the feelings that we have. The problem with those things is that they often lack precision. How should I exercise my love? How should I care for another person? How should I deal with this circumstance in a loving manner and yet not violate my Christian commitment? Those are tough questions, aren't they? When we talk about exercising our love in faith, the faith is what gives our love its precision, its structure, its carefulness in life. There are three characteristics of faith. Faith, unlike love in the Greek, love is very carefully defined. There are four different words in the Greek language that can be used for love. So it's very clearly and carefully defined. But the word faith is very undefined in the Greek language. It carries three basic meanings for us in our lives. It talks to us about the concept of trust, that which I trust in. Like if I try and sit down on this stool, I trust it to carry my weight. So it's trust. The other part of faith that we experience is the concept of commitment. Commitment is me saying, this is what I will do, and doing it. And so when we talk about faith, faith also has the concept of commitment to it. It also carries the concept of perseverance. In other words, no matter what comes at me, I am determined to stay on this course. That's perseverance. Those things are necessary if we are to carefully define our actions of love. Faith also is what we place our belief in. What do you believe in? And for us as Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ. We place our faith in Him. And so He's the ultimate measure of all things in our lives and in our faith. So those are the things that faith covers. So it's a very broad word in the Greek language that covers a lot of concepts, doesn't it? A lot of ideas and a lot of things that work in our lives with the action of faith. So when Paul comes down to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and says, there now remain, or these are the last things that stand, if you want to put it in our language. These are the last things that stand when everything else has fallen. These are the last things that stand. Faith, hope, and love. And they are the only things that will stand in our lives. As Christians, we need to understand that we exercise our love through faith. Now, there are some principles that come to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Apostle Paul is dealing with the Corinthians in much the same struggle that he is dealing with the Galatians. They are struggling with what or how do I exercise my faith or my love in faith. And he says to them in some rather pointed ways, here are some principles that you can guide your experience in. If you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, we can take a look at verse 7. He says, you have abounded in all kinds of faith and speech and knowledge. In other words, you have all kinds of things that you're doing. You're very diligent. You're very on top of this. And you have cared about us. And that's important, the Apostle Paul says. But I am concerned about your sincerity of love. Isn't that an interesting thing in verse 8? He says, I am concerned about your sincerity of love. that sincerity is going to need to be demonstrated by your faithfulness in life. He says, remember Christ who gave up heaven for us. Who gave up all that was His for you. He said that becomes the measure of what it means to love and to have faith in Christ. Now he says, let's put some wheels to that. Let's put some rubber to the road. You know this offering I'm taking up to help the other churches? I expect you to fulfill your responsibility in that. And as you look at this passage, Paul is laying down some pretty hard things for them in the fact that if you're going to express your love, he says you're going to have to put rubber to the road. That love divided from faith, just saying that I love or I care about you, doesn't mean a whole lot. In fact, James would say it even more bluntly. He says, if you see a brother or a sister in need, and they are struggling, and you say, well, brother, bless you. Things are going good, and I'm sorry you're having that problem, but the Lord bless you. I just know you're a good guy. But you do nothing to help. Your faith means absolutely nothing. Isn't that a powerful statement? It grabs hold of me where I live. And so Paul lays out two basic principles for us about faith. Number one, we keep our Christian faith focused by an attitude of self-sacrifice. We keep our faith focused by an attitude of self-sacrifice. And secondly, that diligence in that is the measure of our faith. That is a powerful thing for me. How diligent I am in what I do and what I proclaim is the measure of my faith. Benaniah was, to me, a fascinating gentleman. If you look at him throughout the books of 1 Chronicles and 1 Kings and 2 Samuel, follow him even into throughout his entire life in those books, you come to meet a man who has some very interesting characteristics of faith in his life. The first thing you find out about him is that a person of faith chooses the right side of an issue based on God's purpose in life and His will. This is an interesting book that was written in 2010 called The Year of Living Biblically. It was written by a young man by the name of A.J. Jacobs, who happens to be from a secular Jewish family. But he decided as a stunt to try and live by all the commandments of the Bible. Okay? And so he tried to wear clothing that was not mixed fiber. So no polyester and wool mixes, none of that kind of stuff. You just wore one fiber in your clothing. And he let his beard grow and didn't cut it. And he tried to do all these other things. I guess there's one incident where he thought about trying to stone somebody that was involved in adultery and several other things. And just throw a stone at them. He didn't try and actually kill them. Okay? But the idea was it became very difficult to live legalistically according to Scripture. Even the Jewish people understood that. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in the New Testament, that we cannot live up to the requirements of the law. It isn't possible for us to do that. it's not possible in our lives. So if we are going to live biblically in this world, we need to be people with a character of faith, like Benaniah. We choose what is important to God. Benaniah, on this occasion, had to make a decision: will I follow Adonijah or will I follow Solomon? And he knew that God's choice was Solomon. And so he followed Solomon. In other words, if we are to live in truly by our faith and by God's love in our lives, we need to do it God's way. And there are going to be tough times when we have to choose between circumstances and choose between things. We make that decision based on God's will. The other thing that we learn is that a person of faith is consistent and dependable. He or she can be trusted. And that's important, isn't it? That we are trustworthy in our lives. Have you ever met somebody who wasn't trustworthy? Don't they frustrate you? And then when you're not trustworthy, it frustrates me even more when I'm not trustworthy. And I always want to blame that on somebody else. Don't you? Trustworthiness is being dependable. And Benaniah was a person you could depend on. He was also a person who saw the big picture instead of just his or her personal needs. Benaniah was a man who saw the big picture. It's one of the reasons why Solomon tapped him to lead the army, because he saw the big picture. He understood that there were more important things than just what he needed in life and what he wanted in life. There were more important things. If we're to be men and women of faith, we need to be that kind of a person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul lays down some basic concepts for us in the area of faith. He said, faith in our relationships, it doesn't matter how powerful or able or skilled we are. It doesn't matter how big our knowledge is or how strong we are or how much faith we have. It doesn't even matter if we die for the faith, if we do not do it with a sense of correct purpose, with a sense of selflessness in our love for Christ and for other people. Faith is guided by, faith guided by self-sacrificial love is enduring. It is also guided to behave civilly with others. And boy, do we ever need that in our culture. It is also not arrogant, but honest. And that is an important thing for us about faith. And faith takes the long view in our relationships. In other words, this relationship is not determined by what happens in this moment. It is determined by what God is doing in it. Very often with our relationships with people around us, we throw up our hands and quit. Don't we? Because this person just doesn't ever seem to get it. As Christians, we need to take the long view in our relationships. We do that as our faith is guided by a self-sacrificial love. five principles that we learn from Galatians chapter 5, and here they are. By the way, there is, on the last slide, there was a picture from a CBS sitcom that's beginning called Living Biblically, and it's based on the book that I was sharing with you. It looks kind of interesting. I may try and watch it. It starts tomorrow on the 26th, which is tomorrow night, if you're interested. C.S. Lewis' friend, Tolkien, wrote an interesting little booklet or book called Leaf by Niggle. To niggle in English or British terminology means to worry or to nettle or to work at something. Continually trying to make it perfect and never quite reaching it. That's what niggling means. So niggle is a person like that, and he spends his entire life trying to paint a beautiful tree that he sees in his mind on a landscape of a horizon with mountains in the distance. And he becomes so involved in painting each little leaf that he gets stuck on one leaf for his entire life, and he does some other projects, and he nails them to the large canvas he's created, and he nails other projects to it, and he gets busy at other things, and his neighbor bothers him, and he gets involved in his neighbor, and he knows all this time that he must prepare for a journey. And so he keeps working on this one little leaf. He'll get to the other leaves when he can, but he's got to make this one leaf perfect. And so his neighbor comes over and says, "Can you come help me till my garden?" And so he goes over and helps him till his garden. Finally, the day for his journey comes, and he's not ready, but he has to take the journey anyway. And on that journey, he spends many days traveling and working until he arrives at this beautiful country. And to his surprise, there is the tree. And behind it, the mountain he has seen in his mind. And he realizes that what he's been working on is a vision of heaven. We might look at his story and say, well, that little leaf that he painted, that was the only thing he ever finished. Wasn't very important. But it was a vision of what was real. What you work at in your life, the day in and day out circumstances of your life, are what are really important. What Niggle finds out is that one leaf has been cut out of the canvas and now stands in a museum in his hometown as a symbol of hope for the people that live there. Here's a video about the little things of life.
This is the home you're gonna grow up in. Like it?
In this warehouse, made of brick and stone, built on laughter, all our dreams and hopes. In this small house, together we have grown, made a family, made us all a home.
It is the small things of life, the small acts of faith, acting in love, that make all the difference. You may be painting just a little leaf. Paint it well. Paint it well. It is important. Faith allows us to live above the insecurities in our Christian faith. We do not have to chase or run after shadows. Faith means nothing when it is not exercised in self-sacrificial love. Faith is not an excuse for inaction, bad behavior, or an abuse of others. Faith must be under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And faith which is following the direction of the Holy Spirit does not need fences. Those are important principles that we need to incorporate into our faith. So here's your maxim. The courage of love is bound up in the faithfulness of one's heart. If you are to be effective in your love for other people and your love for your family, it is bound up in the faithfulness of your heart, in your faithfulness during the small moments of life. I like this particular logo. It's a cross, a beating heart, and a heart, and it represents faith, hope, and love. The things that drive us as a Christian. The things that remain when everything else is gone. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a parable that is very unsettling. It's the parable of the unjust steward. What is interesting about this steward is that he realizes he's in real trouble, so he takes his master's the debts that are against his master, and he forgives all of them, so that he will be received, as it says. And his master calls him in and commends him on his wisdom. Now you can see the troubling part of it. Basically, what Jesus tells us about our faith is this. Faith is exercised in love. We'll build relationships based on grace and mercy. Faith exercised or is best reflected in how we use the resources God has given us. And faith values what God values. God values people. Faith values people. Faith views relationships as sacred. If you look at the very end of that parable, it ends actually with some strange verses about the law, about justice, and about, believe it or not, divorce. And basically those three things we understand God is concerned about our relationships. We need to be concerned about them. Our faith touches them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being Lord of our lives. Thank you for your grace. Help us to have faith in our love. Help us to be trustworthy. Help us to be committed. Help us, God, to be men and women who are confident and courageous in you. Guide our lives, I pray. Direct us. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? This whole month has been about relationships. I want you to think about a person with whom you have a broken relationship. And I want you to pray for that person right now. I'm not asking you to pray that it gets solved. I just want you to pray for that person. And tell God what you think is the most important thing you need in that circumstance. Because God cares about our relationships. So I want you to think about that person. You don't need to tell me who they are or anything else. But I want you in the next few moments to pray for that person. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, we are coming together to pray for friends and relatives and family members we have broken relationships with. God, we know that you want relationships healed. And so, God, we ask that you will teach us how to be faithful in that relationship. That you will teach us how to be loving in that relationship and to reflect your character, your purpose, and your will without violating our faith in you. God, help us. Help these people we're praying for, God. Work in this circumstance, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.